Ramsey TV.
Get this now. Somebody wrote me and wanted me to comment on Revelation chapter 14 concerning those worshiping the image of the wild beast who will be tormented in fire and sulfur before the throne of the Lamb. How dare you? This is an extremely difficult passage to ask me to go to Revelation chapter 14, starting with verse 9, and explain it? No problem. No problem. You've come to the right place. You asked the right guy. This is Martin Zender. I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, and ain't bragging if you can do it. I don't shy away from the difficult passages, admittedly. This is a difficult passage. Many people think this is the lake of fire. No. This is not the lake of fire. This is not the lake of fire. I'm going to tell you what it is as I go to Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, chapter 14. Oh, by the way, for those of you who don't know, I did an exhaustive video series on the book of Revelation. It took me 3.5 years. How great is that? 800 shows. 800 shows. Exhaustively. Covered every verse in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. You can find all those shows at my website. Just go to martinzender.com. Scroll down a little bit. You'll see Zender on Revelation. Click on there, and then you can see archived shows. There's a little tab on top that says archived shows. And you can scroll down, see all the titles. They're so intriguing, all the titles. The truth is so rich and so deep. It's even wide. And when you take the book of the unveiling literally, it's amazing what truths open up. Some people, they parabolize the whole thing. They allegorize the entire book, which is a giant mistake. There's a rule of scriptural interpretation that I follow, and it is this: literal if possible. Yes, there are allegories in Revelation. There are signs. There are symbols. But we're to default at taking it literally. And when we do that, all sorts of truth opens up. I got the book of Revelation figured out, but I can't untangle the wire of my headphones here. It seems to be a chronic state of entanglement here. Oh, well, everybody has their talents. Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 9, chapter 14, verse 9. And another, a third messenger, follows them, saying with a loud voice, quote, if anyone is worshiping the wild beast and its image and is getting an emblem on his forehead or on his hand, he also is drinking of the wine of the fury of God, blended undiluted in the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented in fire and sulfur in the sight of the holy messengers and in the sight of the lampkin. And the fumes of their torment are ascending for the eons of the eons. And they are having no rest day and night, those worshiping the wild beast and its image. And if anyone is getting the emblem of its name. Wow. There's a lot there, folks. Let's unpack it. For one thing, we're talking about human beings here. We're not talking about supernatural beings. We're not talking about either the adversary, the false prophet, or the wild beast. These are those who are getting the image of the wild beast. And yes, this is the fabled mark of the beast. It's not only the number of the name, that's one of the options, which of course is 666. But it could also be the emblem of the wild beast. And the emblem of the wild beast, I believe, will be something very beautiful. I think it will be the cross. And yes, it will be a mark on either the hand or the forehead, which are the rare parts of the body that are never covered. Well, you could wear gloves, I suppose. Sorry. Yeah, you can wear a burqa. Okay, all right. But generally speaking, easy access to put an emblem, a mark, or a number. But the number 666, there's no way people are going to take the number 666. It's too obvious. But you can take the number or the emblem. And the emblem, I think, will be a beautiful thing. if it's visible at all. It may be an invisible tattoo put under the skin by electronic means that will allow you to buy and sell. Without it, you cannot buy and sell. It's a scanner thing. It's everybody's going to be put into a system, an electronic system with all your data there, all your personal data, all your banking information, blah, blah, blah. It's all going to be readable by either a scan of your hand or your forehead. And it's going to be very acceptable. It's going to be the thing to do. It's going to be as common as today as a debit card or a credit card. And it's going to be very convenient. And it's not going to be sold as the mark of the beast. No, it's going to be sold as a great thing. And the Christian world is going to go for it. They're going to be convinced it's not the mark of the beast. They're looking for 666, not being aware that the other option is the emblem of the beast. They'll take the emblem. See, Scripture is very crafty that way. God is very crafty that way. I'll put the verse down here. You can either take the number or the emblem of the wild beast. And the wild beast, again, was seen by John as a wild beast, but as it appears on earth, it'll be a beautiful thing. It'll be a system. It'll be a man. The man of lawlessness will be a human being. But the beast, depending on the context, also describes a system. A system of running things, a system of finance, a system of acceptance, a system of getting along in this world. Just do it. Everybody's doing it. Don't you want to help? Don't you want to be a part of this great movement? Yeah, of course. Everybody does. Except those who are given the Spirit of God to recognize this ain't right. This is it. This is the mark of the beast. But I guarantee you, Christians will fall in line for it. As long as they don't see 666, they're going to line up for it. If anyone is that is worshiping the wild beast. Worshiping the wild beast. People think of just bowing down. We worship you. No, worshiping the wild beast. Worship in the Scripture is a dog-like fawning. It's just that you're fawning over it. Oh, this is the greatest thing ever. This wild beast, it's great. That's worshiping the wild beast. Again, Christians have in mind some kind of thing like Nebuchadnezzar's image, where when they heard the music, they had to bow down to the image. That's what Christians are looking for. They're waiting for some golden image that they're going to be forced to bow down to when they hear flute music. No, it's not going to be that at all. Worshiping the wild beast is acquiescing to the wonderfulness of it, the greatness of it. Again, dog-like fawning over it. That's the meaning of the word worship in the Greek, a dog-like fawning. It's an extreme form of liking it. If anyone is worshiping the wild beast and its image, see, its image, and is getting an emblem, they're not looking for the emblem. They're looking for the number. But the emblem, there it is. Looking for the emblem on his forehead or on his hand. He also, or she, is drinking of the wine of the fury of God. Oops, sorry about that. But if you're not in the body of Christ, you're subject to Israel rules, Israel regulations, Israel situations at the end of this eon. This is what you're looking at here. Why do you want to be an Israelite? I don't know. Why do you want to pretend to want to do the Ten Commandments? Oh, you're not pretending to want to do them. You do want to do them, some of, not anybody I'm talking to, and nobody in my audience, but there are many, many people are want to be Israelites. Why? You're appointed to indignation. If you don't do certain things, if you don't endure to the end, you won't be saved. And if you take this mark, which you're all going to do, then you're doomed. You're still saved for eternity, of course. You just don't have aeonian life. But things are going to be rough for you in the interim. I can describe it right now. He also is drinking of the wine of the fury of God. God's, again, turning on the world now for its own good. But it's going to be hell to pay, blended, undiluted in the cup of his indignation. And he or she, that is, the people taking the emblem of the beast, shall be tormented in fire and sulfur in the sight of the holy messengers and in the sight of the lampkin. Now, people assume that this is the lake of fire. But do you see the phrase lake of fire anywhere in this context? No, you don't. That's because this is not the lake of fire. Not at all the lake of fire. The lake of fire for human beings is the second death, Revelation 20:14. And Revelation 20:10, it's a place where three supernatural beings, the beast, the adversary, and the false prophet, are tormented for the eons of the eons. This is not the lake of fire. What else involves fire and sulfur? The 200 million supernatural cavalry, the supernatural horsemen. They come out of the submerged chaos at the behest of the four spirits at the river Euphrates that come to kill a third of humanity, especially the religious ones. Come to kill, come to kill. They, the horsemen, are breathing. They're supernatural horsemen. They're not like the horses at the Kentucky Derby. No, no. These are supernatural, extremely frightening, deadly beings. John describes them. I'll put the reference down here if you go on your own to read about it. I deal with this exhaustively in my Zender on Revelation series. Again, 800 shows. Scroll down at martinzender.com. Start today. You might finish before the snatching away. I hope you don't. It's only 800 shows. You can do it. So these supernatural horsemen are going to be breathing fire and sulfur out their noses. I'll put the reference down here. Fire and sulfur comes out of their nose and their mouth, and fire and sulfur kill human beings. Fire and sulfur, the exact two elements that came down from heaven to snuff out the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire and sulfur kill human beings. Yes, the lake of fire is also burning with fire and sulfur, and it kills human beings. Revelation 20:14, the lake of fire is the second death. It kills human beings. Lake of fire is not a processing plant. It's not a reform school where people learn about God or learn about Jesus. No, they're killed, just like the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah were. But these horsemen that come through to kill a third of humanity, they are breathing fire and sulfur, which is, again, noxious to human beings. And before the human beings die of this, apparently they're tormented. They're tormented. And so he or she shall be tormented in fire and sulfur that comes out of the mouths and the noses of the horses, the supernatural horses. You can't even call them horses, but they're called horses as a figure of retention. That is, they're kind of like horses, but they're weird. They're not horses. Tormented in fire and sulfur in the sight of the holy messengers and in the sight of the lampkin. This is good for them. Good for them. The lampkin is on it. He's not like setting the pot to boil and leaving. He's watching over this. The lampkin is. And the holy messengers, they're watching over this. They're not going to let anybody suffer unduly, but they are going to be tormented. Torment is just torment. I mean, it doesn't mean eternal torment. There's nothing about eternal torment here. It's just that you're going to go ouchy. It's going to be an ouchy. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to suck, and you're going to realize you blew it. You're going to realize, I should have read Martin's books when he gave them to me. Why didn't I? I could have been rescued out of the coming indignation. Instead, I'm breathing fire and sulfur, and my lungs hurt. My esophagus hurts. My nasal passages are very, very hot. This is terrible. That's exactly what this is. Exactly what this is. Tormented in fire and sulfur. Verse 11. Here's the tricky part. Not to me, though. I get this. Now listen. And the fumes of their torment are ascending for the eons of the eons. They're not tormented for the eons of the eons. The fumes, very specifically, the fumes of their torment are ascending for the eons of the eons. That is, in the kingdom eon and in the new heavens and the new earth, apparently, even on new heavens and the new earth, there's going to be fumes associated with the torment of these premier sinners against God, against the lampkin, and it's going to be a remembrance, like, don't F with the lampkin. Don't F with the lampkin. What's that smoke over there? That's the fumes of the torment. Are the people still being tormented? No, they died 1,000 years ago. Don't worry about them. They died 1,000 years ago. Okay. This is the fumes of their torment to remind you that you don't fuck with the lampkin. Do you understand that? Yeah, I get it now. I get it. What was the lesson? You don't fuck with the lampkin. Right. The fumes of their torment are ascending for the eons of the eons. Now we're going back in time. They are having no rest day and night. You would think that joining the beast is going with the tailwind. And it will seem that way. You're going with the majority. the majority is always wrong, scriptural precedent. You're going with the majority. You're going with the popularity club. You're a member of the Christian religion. Everything's going to go great for me. No, unfortunately, you're not going to have any rest day or night because you're slaving for the beast. Even now, Christians have a foretaste of this because if you join the Christian religion, you have no rest day or night. They're getting you in all sorts of activities. You got to go to Wednesday night Bible study. You got to go to the Sunday worship service. You got to man the nursery. You have to man the parking lot. You have to prepare meals. You have to go to so-and-so's funeral, so-and-so's wedding. They give you, there's no rest day and night in the Christian world. That's just a microcosm of the no rest that will be had for these poor acolytes of the wild beast as they are worshiping, that is, exercising a dog-like fawning toward the wild beast. No rest. You're going to be working constantly for this wild beast system. Working. Who's working, Martin? Those worshiping the wild beast and its image. And if anyone is getting the emblem of its name, if you get the emblem of its name, I thought it had to be 666. No, that's just one of the options. It's not necessarily 666. It's also the emblem of the name. It's a name or the emblem. The name, the emblem, or the number. The name, emblem, or the number. There's the verse. It ain't going to be the number. I'll tell you that. It's going to be the emblem or the name. The wild beast might be called Wonderment. The name of the wild beast might be Stanley. It might be Gorgeousness. It's going to be something so innocuous, so apparently innocent, that everybody will join it. It might be the good old USA. You never know. Might be the name, but it's the emblem that everybody's going to take. An emblem is just a mark. Yeah, a mark. But the Greek word there, I'm not sure, I can't remember what the Greek word is, but the English elements I remember well. The English elements are sculpture effect. It's going to be a beautiful thing, assuming that it's visible. But even if it's not visible, it will be under the skin, but it will still be a beautiful thing of technology. It'll be a marvel of technology, the mark of the beast, a marvel that all the information of your entire life will be recorded digitally under your skin, either on the top of your hand or on your forehead. Don't let anybody to allegorize this away like Stephen Jones or Jonathan Mitchell or people like this who will just allegorize away everything in the book of Revelation.
Well, you see, it's not really the literal forehead or the literal hand.
Well, that's what it says.
Well, let's explain that.
Well, no, that's God's explanation.
Well, the hand represents the work and the head represents the way you think.
No. Stop these pompous elucidations. Let's believe God. Shall we?